Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
The Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that popped up there this morning, so swing on over there and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. You could give that a like while you're over there. Well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
Well, all right, Dan, we had the American League wildcard game last night, so we get the National League wildcard game tonight, which has the St. Louis Cardinals at the Los Angeles Dodgers. You know, I would love to watch this entire game, but we know that's not going to happen. Did you manage to stay up last night for the entire American League game? I think they finished before midnight, didn't they?
Oh, it was done well before midnight. Sadly, I didn't get to watch the entire thing because, you know, I've got to put kids to bed and read the story. But, you know, I missed a couple innings, got back down and watched it finish up. Got to see all the key, kind of the big plays. Saw both Rizzo and Schwarber's home runs. So, you know, that's what I wanted to see.
I was able to see, well, I saw my guy Xander Bogaerts homer. I heard the Schwarber one on the Alexa, but by the time Rizzo homered, I was asleep. So.
Yeah, it was kind of nice
the
to
game
see Xander Bogaerts.
I think it was too much over by then, wasn't it? I mean, the Red Sox that kind of sealed the deal there.
Yeah, you know, with, what's his name, going out, Gerrit Cole so early, it was just, to be honest, it's disappointing, but, you know, it just takes me back to when Houston knocked the Yankees out a few years back. And, you know, with the way it's gone this year, you know, did the garbage cans really make that big of a difference?
Yeah, you have to wonder. And now I heard a what I would say is a pretty interesting question when it comes to the Yankees and especially their fans. I'd like to kind of get your take on it. You know, Gerrit Cole is signed for 7 more years, and he's going to make $36 million a year in each of those 7 years. How big of a disappointment is he with that performance last night? Because let's face it, he didn't look like an ace.
No, I was trying to get a good comparison. What did he look like? Because he definitely did not look like an ace. But it's very hard, though, because like you said, there's that long contract, but everyone still loves the other guy. Now, why can't I think of his name? Because he's always hurt and he's never playing. That other pitcher, the young guy. Come on, Big Jack. Yeah, for the Yankees.
For the Yankees? Jameson Taillon?
Yeah. No, not Taillon. I think he's Dominican. He's a...
Oh, Luis Severino.
Severino. Yeah, I mean, you know, Severino kind of hit the same spots in playoffs that Gerrit Cole did, but, you know, I guess you would say Sevy was much younger then.
Well,
you know, it's one of those growing pains.
About a third of what he Yeah, Severino only makes about a third of what Cole makes.
But, so, I don't know. I'm just trying to dig for something to give you something, Big Jack. But it's definitely disappointing. And, you know, where do you go from here? You just got to wait to see what happens next season. It's just yesterday was not his day or the Yankees' day. You know, even with what happened, I just assumed that we'd have an even higher score game, a lot closer. But I was off.
Yeah, well, you know what? What, you know, even just still baffles me, you know, is the fact that, boy, Alex Cora had a really quick hook last night with Nathan Eovaldi, and luckily it didn't backfire on him. I mean, the guy had only thrown, I think it was 71 or it might have been 78 pitches. He was only 5 1/3 innings into the game. And he went to a bullpen that, let's face it, has had its issues. Now, they came through last night, but I don't know what this guy was thinking. It's not like you're going to bring Eovaldi back on short rest because he's not that kind of pitcher.
Yeah.
So, it just kind of baffles me that you send out the guy, you know, that you're trusting to win you a wild card game. You've got the game in control. And yet you panic after he gives up a home run.
Yeah.
So I don't know what this says about Eovaldi or just the way Cora manages.
Well, I was going to say Cora, but that's Davey Roberts. That's that new era Joe Maddon style managing, isn't it? Where you don't want to push him too hard. You get him out of the game. You don't want him to sweat, get in trouble.
Yeah, but this especially in a game like that, it's win or go home. If your bullpen comes in and implodes, you're a jackass.
Yeah, well, and that's huge. But, you know, I was trying to just figure something out and give you something. But can't really say why he would do that. And I thought it was pretty crazy, too, because I stepped away for something. You know, last night was bath night, too, so I'm going back and forth. And I didn't even realize Eovaldi was out. And I'm like, wait a minute, they're up. They're winning. And, you know, the Yanks only have one run. And he's gone already. You know, what is going on? I don't even think it was the fifth. Was it the fifth inning?
Yeah, he pitched 5 1/3 inning before Cora panicked and hooked him.
I mean,
I understand, Eovaldi isn't one of these guys that is going to give you, eight or nine innings, but again, we're talking about a guy who, he was only at like it was 71, I think it was 71 pitches, and it's like, why is he coming out of the game? What the hell are they doing?
Got to be full on ready for game three. He's thinking way too ahead of himself.
Yeah. That's what it almost seemed like. And I mean, looking at his stats over the season, it looks like the longest he pitched was 7 2/3 innings, but yet that's still 2 1/3 more innings that your bullpen doesn't have to cover if he stays out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's one of those things where I'm looking at this going, man, that could have really blown up in his face, and he got really lucky last night because Eovaldi was cruising. He had 8 strikeouts, and he looked like he had the Yankees right where he wanted them. I know everybody panics about, it's the third time through the order and you can't face them 3 times. If you're a top-notch starter, you can face them as many times as you want and they're not going to hit you. And Eovaldi really looked like he had it last night. But for whatever reason, I mean, Cora pressed the panic button and got the bullpen in there. And, you know, like I said, with the exception of the meaningless home run to Stanton in the 9th inning, they did a good job. But that hasn't always been the case for them this season. Even coming down the stretch, they had their issues.
I mean, he rolled the dice and it worked. So, but I kind of think, you know, you're wondering how long is that going to work? How long can you continue to do that?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, that becomes my question is, you know, how long can you turn to continue to turn to these guys and, you know, have them cover, you know, 3 2/3 innings, which is, you know, a decent amount that they're going to have to cover. So, but we'll, you know, we'll see. You know, obviously they're going to get some more games here with their win. Do they play, is it Thursday now? They play Tampa Bay?
Yeah, that should be the case. So it is pretty interesting. And I didn't even think of it this way when we were talking about it, how, well, you know, if the Dodgers make it too, it'll be, you know, the best team in the NL taking on their second place team, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, the team. Well, yeah, I think, yeah, technically the Red Sox did get the second place spot because they hosted the wild card game. So,
mm-hmm. So you know, like you said, yeah.
It is Thursday. Sorry.
Yeah, and, you know, let me look at Friday real quick. Are you a little surprised? Well, I guess it's they were anticipating, what you know, the Yankees. But because it's the Red Sox, that's why they got primetime over White Sox Astros.
Well, you know what? What's humorous is what I wanted to ask you, because I didn't understand this one at all. You know, I hear all the BS about, well, you know, baseball needs to grow the game and they need to bring in a younger fan base and, you know, attract kids to watch the game. Now, we're going to get two wild card games going to end well after any kid who has to go to school tomorrow is going to be in bed, unless, you know, their parents happen to be fans of the team and they let them stay up and stay home tomorrow. Why the hell didn't we get both wild card games played yesterday so a kid could at least watch a full one, at least one full game and part of another one?
Yeah, I can't explain that. You watch like a half hour.
You know, now, you know, we've had teams, you know, the White Sox and the White Sox, the Astros and the Rays, you know, all get 3 full days off, while the Braves and the Brewers get 4.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. Let's play the damn game. You know, I don't want this going into November where if some, by God, somehow the White Sox make it in the World Series, we're shoveling snow off the, you know, at G-Ray Field. You know, it just seems stupid. But, you know, and I mean, I get the reason is that baseball bows down to money instead of fans, which is what all sports do. So it's not surprising that these games are set up in prime time because that's what the networks want, especially the Red Sox Yankees. And you are correct. Boston and Tampa get the prime time spot because it's Boston.
Yeah. I mean,
you
but
know,
if
that,
you do look at it, you know, but at the same time, I guess that theory can't totally be there because they did put the best team in baseball as the, you know, or in the AL as the primetime game. So there's that for you.
Yeah, well, hey, but you know they're rooting for Giants-Dodgers. They don't want Giants-Cardinals. So.
No, and you're totally right because Giants-Dodgers, that means everything's on the West Coast. And that means you pretty much have every viewer in California watching those. That game.
So, but yeah, that, you know, that was just the, I kept thinking of that last night. I was like, God, this game's going to be on really late. Cause you know, it was 7 o'clock our time, not that they ever start on time. So it was 8 o'clock on the East Coast. You know, it's just like, who's still up unless you're a Yankee or a Red Sox fan. And even I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans gave up cause you know,
oh,
I'm sure they realized there was no hope. So,
No,
well,
the,
yeah,
the inks were
like
shut down
rolling.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
That'll be
all right, well, let's,
you know,
let's look at tonight here. Let me give you the lineups real quick. For the Cardinals, we have Tommy Edmond leading off at second base, Paul Goldschmidt batting second at first base, Tyler O'Neill hits third in left field, Nolan Arenado's in the cleanup spot at third base, Dylan Carlson hits fifth in right field, Yadier's doing the catching, of course, he'll hit sixth, Edmundo Sosa is seventh at shortstop, Harrison Bader is eighth in center, and of course Adam Wainwright is hitting ninth in the pitchers in pitching because Joe Maddon's not managing the Cardinals tonight. The Dodgers sabermetric generated lineup has Mookie Betts leading off in right field. Corey Seager hits second at short. We get Trey Turner hitting third at second. Justin Turner hits fourth at third. Will Smith is catching, hitting fifth. A.J. Pollock is sixth in left. Matt Beatty will be at first base with the injury to Max Muncy. He'll hit seventh. Cody Bellinger is actually in the lineup tonight. He's hitting eighth, playing center field. And Max Scherzer, who's actually 0 for 59 this year, Dan, is hitting ninth and doing the pitching, but obviously he's not in the lineup for his hitting. So, I guess a couple things with the Dodgers to start off. Are you surprised to see Trey Turner in the three hole? And B, are you surprised to see Cody Bellinger in his 165 average in the starting lineup?
Well, you know, sabermetrically, I'm definitely surprised to see Cody Bellinger in there. He hasn't worked out the way he's wanted to, but you got to go with the computer gives you, right?
Yeah, in the Dodgers case, definitely. And then what about Trey Turner in the three hole instead of, even a Mookie Betts or a Corey Seager? Are you digging Trey in that spot?
No, I still don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, I think last night with the Yankees and the Red Sox, they went with something unorthodox. You don't know if, it's kind of a challenge. I forget who submitted their lineup first and if that played off of each other. And I think going with Schwarber and Rizzo as leadoff hitters yesterday, we kind of seen them in Chicago get a spark going when they let off. So I thought it was kind of cool that they did that. But, you kind of wonder why the Dodgers are following suit when you don't have all the guys that why would you put the best guy up first? Who's going to potentially knock one out of the park and be able to drive in the guys that are batting after him. That's the part of baseball today that I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And then are you a little surprised? I get that Matt Beatty is left-handed, but are you surprised that it's Matt Beatty over Albert Pujols at first base?
Yeah, you would. I mean, you would think you would want to go full on defensive with Albert Pujols having that experience there, but I don't doubt that the way it went, Pujols is going to be in there by the fifth inning.
Yeah, and, obviously, it's going to give them a big bat to come off the bench. And I guess the other thing I'm just really baffled at looking at this lineup is as good as Chris Taylor has been for them, and I get you look at his stats and he strikes out a lot, so does everybody. I don't want to hear it. That's a dead issue, even as much as it pisses me off. How do they not find a spot for him in this lineup tonight?
I don't know.
So, I think that's the thing that just kind of baffled me. And then, you mentioned defense while you were talking about the Dodgers, and it's really clear that that's the way the Cardinals went with Sosa getting the start at shortstop over Paul DeJong, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and who was it last night? Yeah, I can't remember exactly because I was actually going over our fantasy team and our fantasy leagues, getting everything set up for this week and next weekend. But I think maybe it was Devers who they were actually complimenting him on, you know, some defensive moves he made. Or was it Devers or someone from the outfield who gunned down, you know, one of the Yankees at home plate on a beautiful play. It was an amazing play from the outfield to the infield to get him out. And, you know, he made the comment about getting, you know, asked about his defense. So he was surprised that, you know, because in today's game, no one talks about defense. So I think with the Cardinals having going up against the Dodgers, which on paper are definitely the better team, you maybe want to take a more of a defensive approach. And that's why you would line it up that way. You know, hoping that your pitcher can keep it on the ground.
Yeah, and, you know, that may be the thing, because I believe Wainwright does give up a higher percentage of ground balls. So that, you know, you would probably want your better defensive lineup in there. It's not like, you know, Sosa hasn't been a bust at the plate. I mean, he did hit 271. I got to double check that here to make sure I got it right. Yeah, he hit 271. DeJong is just, you know, he brings a little more power. So, other than that, I mean, it's kind of the Cardinal lineup you expected, right?
Oh, yeah.
So.
And it could be a winner. Who knows?
I think if Adam Wainwright can keep them in the game, they have a shot. Why not, right? I mean, they've been the best team in baseball since the middle of September. So.
Well, and, you know, one of the things I just kind of thought of, and I'm sure it's not something I've thought of, though, you know, with this game, because, you know, it just more triggered off of you saying, you know, how could the Dodgers not fit him in the lineup? And when you're coming into this wild card game, you know, most all playoff series except for this one is a game, you know, best of five, so you're definitely guaranteed about three games. Going forward to seven. But do you think when you come into this one game elimination that you almost have to look at it as two games, so to speak, where you're going to go with this lineup to start the game and see where that goes, but halfway through that game you might just be switching it up completely? And, you know, maybe that's even something Alex Cora thought of. And, you know, the plan was regardless of, you know, Cora in the front office, regardless of where he was last night, he was getting pulled and at this time. And if, you know, such and such situation came up, it was like, we're going to get him down, get him out. Do you think that kind of plays into it too, where, you know, playoffs is traditionally several games. So you have this one game to get it all in and you may not have all nine guys that you start with playing the entire game.
Yeah, you know, like if I had to make a guess, what I'm assuming we will see happen is if the Cardinals go to a left-handed pitcher, we'll see Chris Taylor come into the game for Cody Bellinger. Is how I think that will shake out. And then, of course, we'll see Albert Pujols come in for Matt Beatty. But the fact that, you know, Wainwright is right-handed, I think they wanted a couple extra left-handed bats in there to go up against him. So, I think only Pollock is left-handed, so they would have Seager and Pollock. But they, you know, they end up.
Well, and I think this is a better strategy than what what's his name up in Milwaukee tried. Granted, it was the series and not the elimination game. But trying to throw off, you know, either offense with, you know, this pitcher and then pulling them off, going with the Tampa Bay Rays starter, you know, stuff.
The opener.
Yeah, the opener.
But I did find that quite humorous when he did that. When it was Wade Miley who came out and pitched one inning,
yeah.
And then the Dodgers rearranged their whole lineup after that. So,
mm-hmm.
You know. But, yeah, you know, I think that always makes me cynical.
I just think it's easier to adjust that whole lineup as opposed to taking one of those guys away from your bullpen that early.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense with what they do when they start juggling the sabermetric BS, and it was just kind of like whatever. But I do have to ask you, you know, unfortunately you missed last night. You had the Yankees. Is there a team you're going to jinx tonight? I mean, being a Cub fan, can you actually pick the Cardinals, or are you got the Dodgers like I think everybody else does tonight?
So, you know, did I jinx the Yankees because I didn't wear a Yankees hat? Is that maybe the reason?
Yeah. Maybe.
So, you know, I decided this morning that I was looking at my 2013 World Series Cardinals hat. I collect the World Series ones, you know. I'll never wear a Cardinals hat unless I actually go to a game again, but don't need any more than that, just that World Series one, just to say I have a World Series one. Sitting next to the 2020 LA Dodgers, and I just kept going back and forth, and everything just told me to put on the Dodgers hat this morning. Plus, because I'm a Cubs fan.
So you're going to join the majority? Oh.
Yeah, I'm with the majority. You know, and it's funny you say that. As a Cubs fan, can you like the Cardinals? And, you know, I actually think I have an easier time rooting for the White Sox over the Cardinals.
Yeah, so I think most Cubs fans actually do. Well, you know, what I find now, you know, I'm a terrible gambler. You know how badly I do on FanDuel, even though I did win 60 cents on NASCAR on Monday. I didn't have your guy Bubba, though. I probably would have won more money with him. You know, I saw the line for this game as over under 7.5 runs. Doesn't that seem like a big total to you with Wainwright and Scherzer making the starts? Wouldn't you think you would bet the under?
Yeah, but it's playoff baseball, and you never know. I would go with the under. And going with the under, I'll be back in a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, because that was just one of those things that seemed kind of odd to me. Now, you know, along the lines of Dan, I do believe the Dodgers end up winning this game. As weird as it is, I would love to see the Cardinals win it just to listen to the media freak out and go just ape crazy over the fact that a team with 106 wins had to, you know, oh my God, they had to play in the wild card game, and what a travesty that is. And, well, you know, if you don't want to play in the wild card game, win your division. It's just that simple. They had to beat the Giants. They didn't beat the Giants. That's how it works out. So, you know, I get tired of listening to the media stupidity when it comes to this. These are actually, you know, works out to be really good rules. It really made the season a lot more interesting because, let's face it, with the exception of the NL West, the division races were pretty much a joke. You know, I know the Phillies hung around in the NL East for a little while, but nobody cared unless you were a fan. I mean, that division was terrible. But, you know, I mean, was there another close division race coming down the stretch besides the NL West? Yeah, no, I didn't think so. You know, in the end, the Astros ended up pulling away. The White Sox had their division wrapped up by the All-Star break just about. And the Tampa Bay Rays got away from everybody else in the East after a while. So that was the only division race. Unfortunately for the Dodgers, they came out on the short end of it, which means they go into the wild card game tonight. You know, hey, sorry, it's just how it works out. Those are the rules. Why are we going to change the rules for one team? You know, I didn't hear anybody crying when the Pittsburgh Pirates went into the wild card game with 100 wins. But yeah, we're going to cry when the Dodgers go in at 101. So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's just media BS, and I hate that people are buying it. You know, and of course, any Dodger fan is going to complain because there's a chance their team is going to go out with, you know, just one game. And, yeah, would it be a travesty? Of course. They won 106 games. So, you know, it just kind of happened that way. It didn't work out. And we'll see how it plays out tonight. I mean, it's two really talented pitchers. I've heard a lot of people say that it's going to come down to the bullpen, which everybody thinks is on the Dodgers' side. But don't forget that the Cardinals have Jack Flaherty in that bullpen. He may be able to come in and give them multiple innings. You know, if they need him to come in and cover 6 and 7, if Wainwright only gives them 5, or imagine Flaherty going 7 and 8, you know, and then they would be able to turn to who's closing? Is it Gallegos who's been closing, or I'm drawing a blank here. I gotta actually look it up and see here. Yeah, it's been Gallegos who has been closing, and he's been pretty solid as of late. So you know you'd have to wonder if maybe we could see Flaherty for multiple innings. You know, if Wainwright gives him 6, Flaherty could bridge 7 and 8, and then you go to Gallegos for the 9th. You know, or maybe they could turn to a guy like John Lester with all that playoff experience for multiple innings, even though I don't know if you'd want soft on soft. You go from Wainwright, who doesn't throw very hard, to Lester, who doesn't throw very hard. But you would get the righty-lefty combination. So I think it's an interesting match with the Cardinal bullpen. I think it's a little better than they seem to be getting credit for. So, you know, we'll have to see how it plays out. But, you know, again, the Cardinals offense obviously going to have a difficult time going against Scherzer, who is, you know, going to be a Cy Young candidate. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But yeah, it you know, hopefully it makes for a good game, and it's not a game like last night where, you know, it just looks like it's over after 5. So we'll have to see. But, yeah, and again, I believe the official start time is 7:10. I just hope they throw the first pitch before, like, 7:30 so I can actually watch, you know, multiple innings. And, it's not like last night and I just get stuck watching. I think I made it through 2 or 3 before I had to give up. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. Oh, did you make it back? Was that you rattling back in on us? Oh, no, I thought it was Dan. I guess not. But, you know, I mean, if you've got a pick for tonight, you know, let us know what it is. 646-478-3753. We're still here for about 25 more minutes. So, you know, let us know who you're going with tonight. You know, like I said, Dan and I are going to go with the Dodgers, even though we get a chuckle out of the Cardinals winning. So we'll see how it goes.
They're not going
to
win.
Yeah, well, I don't know. You did pick them, so. But, you know, and I did find this fun thing that goes by position advantage for tonight. So I wanted to get your thought on it here, Dan. They start with catcher. You got the good old veteran Yadier with all his experience, or you like Will Smith in this situation?
Ooh. It's a hard one, but I think the way Smith's been playing lately and just kind of getting some key hits here and there, key plays, I would go with Will Smith in this one.
Yeah, they went with it, too, just because of his offense. I have a really hard time doing that. There's no way I'm going against Yadi in the playoffs with his defense and just as clutch as he is. I didn't agree with that one there. But they go to first base. It's Paul Goldschmidt, and then obviously we know tonight the starter is Matt Beatty. This one seems pretty obvious, but I got to ask you who you got there.
Oh, yeah. I'm going with Goldie.
Yeah, no. I think just about everybody would go that route. Second base is another one that looks really obvious. Even though Tommy Edman is a really good player for the Cardinals, he's unfortunately matched up against Trey Turner. So who you got then?
I'm going with Trey all the way.
Yeah, that I think I'm right with you there. Shortstop, same thing. Again, it looks a little obvious. The Cardinals are rolling out Edmundo Sosa, who, again, has solid numbers and is a good defender, but the Dodgers have Corey Seager, who not only is a good defender but a fantastic power hitter and a World Series MVP. I assume you going Dodgers there, or you really like Sosa?
No. I've got to go blue. Dodgers.
Yeah. You know, and that third base is a fun one. You know, Justin Turner is actually a really good player. I think the drawback runs into the fact that he hits Nolan Arenado. So who you like there?
This one's I think, is actually probably the hardest one, because I don't think you can go wrong on either end. But I give the slight edge to Arenado.
Yeah, I'm kind of there. Left field, we see A.J. Pollock for the Dodgers and Tyler O'Neill for the Cardinals. Who's your big pick there?
A.J.
Oh, really? Over even as good as O'Neill's been, you're taking Pollock?
Yeah, I'm still going with Pollock.
Oh, yeah. See, I couldn't. O'Neill's been so good, and plus I had him on my fantasy team. There's no way I can give up on him now. So,
yeah.
And then center field tonight, we know it's Cody Bellinger starting. He goes up against Harrison Bader. You know, Bellinger hasn't been Bellinger, so are you on the boat thinking he comes through tonight, or are you in the Bader category?
I'm in the Bader category.
Now, if it was Bellinger and Chris Taylor, if you knew Chris Taylor was coming in, would that change your mind?
Probably.
All right, and then, you know, right field is Dylan Carlson for the Cardinals and Mookie Betts. I know this seems really one-sided, but I think it's closer than people think. What train are you on here?
I'm still going with Mookie.
Yeah, so, and then we go starters. You know, both these guys have been really good, Max Scherzer and Adam Wainwright. You got one over the other?
No, this is probably harder than third base.
I
picked the Dodgers, so I'm going with Scherzer,
it's hard to go against Scherzer, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
You look at him and it's just like, good Lord. And now bullpen, and now I heard earlier that the bullpen was the biggest advantage for one of these teams. Who you got coming out of the bullpen? You like one bullpen over the other?
I'm just going to stick on the Dodger train.
Yeah, you know, this was another one I thought was a little closer than people are giving it credit, because, like, I just heard people raving this morning about how this is the Dodgers' big advantage and this is what's going to win them the game. And I just don't think they're giving some of the guys the Cardinals have in the bullpen. Like I was saying while you were gone, I think they forget that Jack Flaherty is going to be part of the Cardinals' bullpen. And, you know, he's a number one starter that's working back from injury and could give them multiple innings if needed. So I don't know why people seem to be kind of crapping on the Cardinal bullpen.
Yeah, I wouldn't be crapping on them. I'm just going with the Dodgers over them.
So, yeah, it was just kind of strange to me that they played it off as such a huge advantage. And, you know, this is it, and this is where the Dodgers are going to make a big deal. And it was like, really? Are the Cardinals that bad in the bullpen that they, you know? but I guess maybe it was just me. I did see, I was a little surprised to see your guy, Steven Souza Jr. actually made the card, the Dodgers wild card roster. Do you think he gets a pinch hit at bat tonight? Would you be excited for that?
I think he gets one. I don't know about level, but.
Oh, you'd be thrilled if he came up to the plate. What are you talking about? You know, that would be right up your up your lot. You'd be tweeting about that.
Yeah. I still have a hard time every time you say Max Scherzer with the Dodgers. Picturing.
Yeah, it's a little weird, isn't it? You know, but, you know, maybe something we have to get used to if they are able to sign him in the off season.
Well, I don't think they're going to have a choice if with that other situation not having a positive resolution on that end of it.
Yeah, well, it would be nice if they would make up their frickin' mind about that, wouldn't it? And just kind of decide what they're doing. So.
Yeah.
Oh, but I am now this is kind of interesting, too. Are you surprised that the Cardinals don't have John Lester or J.A. Hop on their wild card roster? Because, you know, that could be another guy out of the bullpen that could give them multiple innings.
No, I'm not really surprised. To be honest, I think you'd want to save those guys if you do get to that spot, get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess you probably would need one of them to start the NLDS. So, but they do have Wang Yin Kim, so you know he could always start.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Did I see his name on their roster either? Maybe they just kept all their starters off and they're just going with all relievers. Oh no, he is on here. So.
Oh, he is.
You know.
I mean, you would definitely want two starters on your roster for a wild card game, in the strange event that something, you know, a Johnny Cueto issue happens like it did in 2012 with the Reds.
Yeah.
So you definitely want to have that additional starter on your team, but I'd rather load up with the bullpen and maybe throw an extra bat in there than to carry all the starting pitchers, or too many.
So, yeah. You know, a lot of times, you know, that doesn't even factor in. I just thought it was kind of interesting. So.
Yeah.
You know. But I did see, you know, some other baseball stuff here. The Padres did officially relieve Jace Tingler of his managerial duties today. So that's two openings. We have the Mets and the Padres, two pretty good openings, actually, teams that could compete right away. Do you think we get any more? Do you see anybody else who's going to be out of a job here with the way things are?
I can't even pinpoint it right now. Texas?
Yeah, that was the only thing I was thinking of, but I haven't heard anything at all.
I mean,
you know, none of the teams, you know, the Diamondbacks have already said they're bringing Lovello back. We know the Cubs and David Ross are in extension talks, so he's coming back.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm wondering if we're just going to have limited openings this offseason.
I think you will. I mean, when you have a team like Baltimore, I don't think there's going to be any. The 10-game differential on a manager might make is not going to make a difference if they fire who they have now and hire someone else. Was it did the Pirates, were they looking at making a move? I mean, I don't really think it would make a huge
difference. I haven't heard anything. So, yeah, nothing that is, has popped up. On, you know, who might be going, you know, they, Tingler and Rojas were the big two. You know, I know there's been some coaching movement. I saw the Cubs fired their hitting coach and the Indians just canned their guy. So, Other than that, I haven't seen any real, you know, managerial openings.
No, I still find it funny how the old timer managers who are too old and aren't going to be able to connect with the younger players in sabermetrics are going up against each other in 2 days.
Yeah, it is humorous how the two old guys got their teams into the playoffs. So that is kind of funny. And I did see, I don't know, I think we mentioned this yesterday, that Theo Epstein was a candidate for the Mets general manager job. The Mets actually came out today and said that he is not a candidate. They have no interest in bringing him in. So does that surprise you, or did you like that move, or?
No, it doesn't surprise me. You know, why would the Mets want to do that? And, you know, even in Theo's case, why would you want to take a step down from a president to a general manager?
Well, let's face it. He was the Cubs general manager. He just had the presidential title.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all it was. But
you want to keep those titles, though. No, I think it's a smart move on the Mets part. You know, the game's figured out Theo's way. So we talked about this. You know, we talked about this. Everything, all the Theo magic was, what's the good word for it? Just legalized out of the game, or? Yeah, all his loopholes were closed.
Yeah.
There we go. All his loopholes were tied up.
That's the best way to look at it. Yeah, they closed everything that Theo did to make teams successful.
Well, no, I don't think team successful. It's just I don't know.
Yeah, do you really believe that he could walk into a team right now with the way he runs the general manager's position and build a winner?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, he definitely took advantage of a hole in the system, a loophole. It's hard to say. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? I mean, it's good and it's bad. I think in the end it does protect the team, though, so you don't fall into the situation that Theo put the Cubs in.
Yeah.
You know, where you on three seasons, get your number one draft picks, and then you rely on other people not signing with you so you can take other teams, you know, first-round draft picks. It's a good deal. He made very good on us with it.
Yeah, well, he made very good on it until this year, until it came time to make decisions on those guys he brought in, and then he choked like you wouldn't believe. So,
got to get the hell out of Dodge.
But, yeah, just one of those things. So yeah, and then I did see. I thought it was kind of funny that I saw I guess apparently the Mets were also considering asking the A's for permission to interview Billy Bean. And Bean came out today and said he didn't even realize he was a candidate for the job. And I was like, really? How did you not know?
He didn't know he was a candidate for the job?
Yeah. He didn't know he was a candidate for the job. So.
Wow. Sometimes you got to find out the hard way, right?
I guess so. You know, I was kind of like, oh, okay. I don't know how you didn't know, but all right, there you go. But yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. So, but yeah, now were you, I guess, you know, talking about managers and stuff, were you expecting any other team to make a change? You know, or I guess, did you think it might have been possible that Terry Francona would just retire with all the health issues he's had the last couple of years?
Yeah, I kind of thought so. I'm surprised that he's still hanging around, but Tito's doing it.
You know, and I did see an article today that he's planning on coming back next year. He's going to give it another go. So,
it's just you got to wonder what goes through his mind, because you kind of come into seasons over the last couple of years with a contending team, a team that actually can compete and win, and then it's just kind of systematically broken down, and then yet you're still in kind of a semblance of a race, you know, up until the end. So I don't know. I kind of question, why does he continue to want to be with this team?
Yeah, well, you know how it is with some of these guys. You know, they get it in their blood, and they just keep going. You know, you basically got to rip the uniform off of them. I mean, look at Tony La Russa. Why did he come back? He'd been out of the game for how long? So, you know, it makes you wonder.
Well, and even with La Russa, all the crap that was talked about him not relating, and, you know, my only thing was, how do we know this old man wants to go back into the game? And,
yeah,
you know, I don't think he missed a beat. He's definitely for damn sure on that. He didn't miss a beat.
Well, you know, Dusty Baker was the same way. Remember that the Nationals got rid of him because they said he couldn't relate to younger players.
Like Bryce Harper, who was gone the next season.
Yeah. You know, yeah, they wanted somebody who could relate to Bryce Harper. But, yeah, it just, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, you know, we're going to, you know, pitch a manager who can win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously it helped, you know, going to the Astros, who went to a team where, you know, they were built to win and ready to win. But obviously, you know, he's still been a good enough manager to get them, you know, through this.
Yeah. Well, and not only that, I mean, I don't know. Whatever happened here in Chicago, you can totally blame on Dusty. It was collective. But, you know, wherever he goes, he puts together teams that are going to win, or maybe not puts them together,
yeah.
Helps guide them onto that path. I mean, we've seen it everywhere he's gone. San Francisco, Cincinnati, Chicago, Washington, and now Houston. You know, to be honest, after the scandal and then bringing Dusty in, you know, I kind of was giving up on them a little bit because, you know, after the scandal, it's pretty interesting that a lot of the guys with the higher numbers, batting averages and hits, home runs, the whole nine, didn't seem to play as well for the following seasons. So, you know, for me, it's just kind of like, did something really not happen?
Yeah, you know, you do wonder. It's kind of like, hey, what happened there?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think he's definitely helped put a resurgence back in there. And, I mean, last year would have been a lot rougher for the Astros had fans been in stands. Or not last year, the year prior. But, you know. You know, they skated away. They got off pretty easy where it just started this year, you know, so.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I think the only thing you could actually knock Dusty for as a manager is just the fact that he's never won a World Series. You know, he's been to, is it two or three? But he just, you know, he just hasn't managed to win one. Oh, he's only actually only been to one. I thought he'd been to multiple. Sorry.
Well, and that in itself is kind of confusing, too, because you think of Dusty and you think of the teams that he's been on. But, you know, also at the same time, you know, not to make the huge comparison with the Yankees, but he's never been on a team or managed a team that was willing to open up the books that much. I mean, they should have did it in San Francisco, but that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Yeah, well, you know what makes it even more interesting about Washington letting him go is he only managed there 2 years, and they won the East both years. They went to the playoffs both years. Now they lost both years in the NLDS, but you're in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, looking at his record, the last 6 years he's managed, now there was a three-year gap between Cincinnati and Washington. The last 6 years, he's taken the team to the playoffs, either as a wild card or winning the division. And actually, it's 7 out of the last 8 years.
Wow.
But yet this guy couldn't relate to young players.
Yeah.
According
and
to the Nationals.
I think we had talked about that. I mean, you had pointed out some of the kind of silly things he would do when he was putting lineups together. I mean, you had him figured out. Joe Madden had him figured out where they were doing dumb stuff to just kind of get around with what Dusty was doing, and it worked, oddly. But it's like, I just still flabbergasted when they fired him. I'm like, this is a guy who's just taking you to the World Series, or not the World Series, the playoffs 2 years in a row. This is a team from 2012 on, or 10, 11, or 12, was supposed to be the team that we're all watching. And they never got there. They never did it. So, you just took away your advantage.
Yeah, and then surprisingly, the only team he's had a losing record with that he managed has been the Cubs.
I mean, do you really say surprising when you say that?
Well, yeah, you know, kind of. So, you know, and you got to figure if he ever does decide to hang it up, he goes in the Hall of Fame as a manager, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, even if he doesn't get that elusive World Series win, he goes in.
No, I think he goes in. You know, and I think it doubles
but
up
yeah.
Because I think another part of that, the writers wrote him off, which is, you know, what they do and. That would be their kind of makeup to help put him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So, and you know, we'll see. You know, who knows? Maybe he gets it this year. You know, that team is playing really well, and you know, I honestly think coming down the stretch, they may have been the best team in the American League. So, I won't be surprised if they end up in the World Series. I don't know if they'll win it, but I won't be shocked to see them end up there.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that. So would you be, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if they ended up in the World Series, but would you still be surprised if Tampa ends up beating the Red Sox?
No, you know, nothing Tampa Bay does anymore surprises me. You know, I'm disappointed that I didn't pick them correctly this year. I really thought it would be a down year. Nothing they do is going to shock me. So, just nothing at all. But, all right, well, we got to go. We're not going to have time for the music because we're running a little long here. But Dan and I are taking off. I'm back Friday at 5 o'clock with Sean Boots to do, but you know what to check out while we're away. SportsTimeRadio.com, the new blog went up there this morning. Hit the link there. It'll take you over to the Facebook page. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at SportsTimeRadio. Of course, feel free to look Dan and I up on Twitter. And, you know, if you came by and listened live, that's great. That's cool that you did that, Dan, and I appreciate that. But if not, head on over to tunein.com, and you can listen anytime you want. And I'll talk.